at the moon. Don't know or what I am. In your arms a while, face a baby before it knows to smile.
We're here, but there's no trace. Everywhere I turn, you kiss my face. Namaste and blessings. The Swami welcomes you with great love and great respect from the heart of all. This is Swami Sivananda Giri, and welcome to Meditative Living. Thank you, Sonic, over in Brighton, UK, pushing the buttons, playing the music, making things sound as good as possible. And welcome to type1radio.com, the new platform for all things type 1. On today's Meditative Living, for those of you that have been following along in this series, you're already aware that we are over waist deep now in covering the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri was the guru of the guru of this Swami's guru. So, in going back up the chain to Nityananda, you have access to this Swami. This Swami comes to you on behalf of His Holiness Mahamandaleshwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda Vishwaguru Maharaj of Los Angeles, California, who in 2007 became the very first white-skinned, American-born human being invited into the rank of the 80 Mahamandaleshwars within Sanatana Dharma, better known as Hinduism. Now, Swarupananda's guru was Swami Muktananda, most commonly known as Baba Muktananda. Baba Muktananda's guru was Bhagwan Nityananda, who is the subject of the Chittakasha Gita. Now, Nityananda rarely spoke He was not one who went around giving speeches and doing presentations and that sort of thing. That was not his way. But on occasions, he would say things, tremendously deep things. And he never wrote anything. But for a period of around 7 years, a group of his disciples started writing down and noting down what it was he had to say. And that collection, put together over a period of around 7 years and turned over to one of Nityananda's female disciples, a woman named Tulsi Amma, she put together these sayings, and that is what ended up being published as the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganeshpur. So, we continue on now with the Chittakasha Gita, verse 187. Nityananda said, "What the nest is to the bird is the body to the soul. The body is the house of the soul. What is that house? And what is this house is subtle discrimination. The gross body," and by gross he means physical body, "the gross body is the beggarly house. What to say of Brahmananda?" Stepping away from the text for a moment, Brahmananda is the supreme level of bliss. It is called Brahmananda, it is called Yogananda, it is called Shivananda, but it represents that highest level of bliss. Returning to the text, Nityananda said, "What to say of Brahmananda? No one can describe it. Truly, truly realize that the eternal is one in all. Hari is not the knower. Shiva is the knower. What is Hari is wandering. Hari, Hari, I want this. I want that. Give me, you say. This is of no use. Such a man is never happy. Let Hari merge in Hara. Burn Hari in Hara. Saying Hari Hari is nothing but mental delusion. You praise Hara, hiding this delusion is your mind. He who has given you eternal joy is Shiva. Shiva is the giver of eternal mukti, or liberation, and eternal bhakti, or devotion. What is Hari is keeping the mind in the world. Shiva is keeping the whole universe in one's self. Saying Hari Hari is going down, but Shiva is the guide to the path of bliss. Mukti is got by the upward course of prana. Hari is like a horse without reins." The commentary. "The body is not the eternal dwelling of the Atman, the highest spiritual part of us. What the nest is to the bird, the body is for the soul. The body is the house of the soul. Recognition of the body as the house of the soul and not the soul itself is what is called subtle discrimination. So also, to recognize the bodies of men as this house and that house, and not as their souls, is subtle discrimination. The gross body is the beggarly house. Gross body is transient. What can one say of Brahmananda? No one can describe it with words. Truly, truly realize that the eternal Atman is the one and the same in all. What is Hari is Maya. Shiva is the supreme knower of all. Maya, or Hari, is not the knower. Shiva is the supreme knower. Hari, or Maya, is wandering here and there, known as fickle-mindedness. Shiva is becoming steady and one-pointed. What is the good of saying, Hari, Hari, I want this, I want that, give me, give me? A man who meditates on Hari to satisfy his desires can never be happy. Let the desires be burnt to ashes. Let Hari merge in Hara. Let Maya merge in Shiva. Saying Hari Hari is mental delusion. Say Hara Hara with subtle discrimination. Men praise Shiva, hiding their worldly desires. If so, how can they attain Shiva? Shiva is the supreme giver of eternal joy, eternal mukti, and eternal bhakti. What is Maya is keeping the mind in the world, being full of worldly desires and worldly fears. Shiva is keeping the whole universe in one's self. In other words, being perfectly desireless. Saying Hari Hari is going down. Shiva is the guide to the path of bliss. Mukti, or liberation, or freedom, salvation, these words. Mukti is got by the upward course of prana. Hari is like a horse without reins. Hari is letting the mind run loose, allowing it to wander wherever it likes, like an unbridled horse. Shiva is realizing the highest by one pointed focus. Verse 188. Nityananda said, to ride a horse safely in the midst of a crowd of 2,000 people, the rider must be efficient. Buddhi, or intelligence, is above. Manas, or mind, is below. Buddhi is the king. Manas is the prime minister. Mind must be subordinate to buddhi. The first is sound. The second is the impression which the sound carries. The primary guru is the manas. The secondary preceptor is he who initiates you. The second guru is the teacher. The primary guru is that which practices. Realization is the primary guru. You cannot have a secondary preceptor unless you have a desire to have him. when you have the desire to possess a thing, you require a secondary guru. The secondary guru is he who shows you the tank. The primary guru is he who drinks the water from the tank. The primary preceptor banishes the darkness in you, giving you light. Darkness is ignorance. Light is knowledge. He who shows you the path to the subtle, leaving aside the gross, is the guru. The one guru who is in all is the Lord of the universe. One is not the guru to the other. One is only a secondary guru. Guru is the Lord of the universe. He is the Omkar, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, and the origin of Parabrahma. Vishnu is the mental modifications or thoughts. What is Shiva is the decoration of the body. Brahmeshwara is leaving aside of the body idea, like the kernel of a dry coconut, which is separated from the outer covering. The commentary. To ride a horse in the midst of a crowd of 2,000 people, the rider must be efficient. Like the discrimination of the rider, man's discrimination must be sharp and alert so that he may realize the Parabrahman. The seat of Buddhi is above that of Manas. Buddhi is above, Manas is below. Manas in man must be subordinated to Buddhi. The prime minister is subordinate to the king. Buddhi is the king, Manas is the prime minister. Buddhi is to command Manas. Manas is to carry out Buddhi's command. We first hear the sound, then we receive the impressions of the sound. Similarly, we must first have the secondary preceptor. The realization of the Atman is a thing that follows. The primary guru is the Manas, is man. The secondary preceptor is the man outside of you who initiates you into the knowledge. The first importance is given to the Manas because without the thirst for God realization, a man cannot attain. The secondary guru is he who teaches you. The primary guru is that within you which practices to realize itself. Realization is the primary guru. One cannot have a secondary preceptor unless he has the desire to have one. A secondary guru is required as long as the mind runs after various worldly pursuits. The secondary guru is he who shows you the tank. The primary guru banishes the darkness in you by showing you light within yourself. What is darkness is ignorance. Light is knowledge. Guru, he who shows you the path to the subtle, leaving aside the gross. The one guru who is in all is the Lord of the universe. He is the guru. He is the Omkar, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, and the origin of Parabrahma. Vishnu is the mental modifications or thoughts in the mind of man. What is Shiva is the decoration of the body. Brahmeshwara is the leaving aside of the body idea or ego by being one with the Godhead. One must feel and know that the Atman is separate from the body, like the kernel of a dry coconut, which is separate from the outer covering. This is Brahmeshwara. This is the All. Verse 189. Nityananda said, "All things with form is Omkar. Omkar is the divine in them. What is Omkar is the subtle Bindu. Omkar pervades both in and out in the form of air. It is impossible to describe Shiva Shakti, the energy of Shiva. Only those who have experienced it can come close to describing what it is. Without experience, it is impossible to describe what Shiva Shakti is. Men of book knowledge cannot describe it, but those who have the knowledge of the Atman can describe it." The commentary: Omkar is the all of this and every other universe. All things with form is Omkar. Omkar is the divine in each and every separate thing. Omkar is the subtle Bindu. Bindu means dot or spot or bit of light. This is visible to the internal eye as one progresses in divinity. Omkar pervades both in and out in the form of air. The supreme energy of Shiva, or Shiva Shakti, defies description. Only those who have experienced God's bliss can describe what it is like. No others can do this. Certainly not those who have no experience of it. Men of book knowledge cannot describe it. But those who have the knowledge can describe it. The knowledge of the Atman is superior to book knowledge. Stepping away from the text, kindly allow this Swami to elaborate a bit. Bindu. The point of Bindu is within your head. Each and every human hearing this, whether you have directly experienced the inner perception of Bindu yet or not, it is most certainly there. It is only awaiting your discovery. When you have done the appropriate practices and efforts, it will reveal itself to you from within you. For this Swami, didn't quite fully understand how the Bindu was going to be or what it was going to be like. Just one day, woke up in the morning, then closed my eyes again and realized, wow, there's a little bitty point of a little bitty white light. And I opened the eyes again and looked around. No, nothing to cause this. Close the eyes. There it is. Right there. I can see, you know. Then you open the eyes again and nothing nothing outside causing this. And then close the eyes. There it is. A point of white light. Only visible when the eyes were closed at that point. Now it's visible all the time. And actually, for this Swami, the internal landscape behind closed eyes has changed tremendously. And now it's always light. It is no longer dark when the eyes are closed inwardly. It's not dark anymore. It's just not. And kindly allow this Swami to express that it was nothing that the mind or the thought processes engaged in which brought this about. It was a very natural progression, completely independent of thought process. I hope you're understanding this, because it is a most natural development within the human, and it is not dependent on outer book learning. Not in the least bit. One can attain this without ever having read anything. Or one could be the most erudite of scholars and not have this. That's just the way that this happens to be. Let us take our bottom of the hour break, and we will return with verse 190 of the Chittakasha Gita here on Meditative Living.
Thank you. Shivaya, Shiva Shiva Om Namah Shivaya, Shiva Shiva Om Namah Shivaya, Shiva Shiva.
Namaste and blessings. Welcome back to Meditative Living. This is Swami Shivananda Giri, a Swami of the Mahadeva Mahayoga tradition. Mahadeva means the God of the gods. Mahayoga means the great union, the final coming together of all that seems to be separate. That is the goal, the final goal in human existence. Now, there are many, 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 many other goals that we will shoot for, some we will get, some we will miss, that come before that final goal. And that is the purpose of the incarnation cycle, is to learn and grow within consciousness until the point where it becomes very obvious that all of consciousness is within you. And it has never been otherwise. You simply had to forget that part in order to play out the role of the individuated unit of consciousness, like an actor on a stage. You have come into this body been given a name, a backstory, conditioning, training, education, experience, and with all of this in your backpack, you go into life and you experience and you grow. And sometimes you make no progress. Sometimes you take a few steps backwards. Sometimes you make enormous progress real quick and it slips away. All of these possibilities are available, are part of the play of consciousness itself. The purpose is so that the one to which you can apply any number of terms, God, okay, Shiva, okay, Krishna, okay, higher self, okay, source, okay. See, nothing to fight about here. Only our different ways of understanding through the limited minds we possess that are focused outwardly. A time will come for you, whether in this body or another, where you will become bored, unattracted to the outer world, where you start to have thoughts like, is this really all there is? Is this really as good as things can be? Or is there more? Am I missing something? And you wonder about these things. And that's a natural invitation to begin casting your attention inward through any number of practices or traditions Because kindly allow this Swami to say, as a mystic, we mystics, and again, the term mystic only means that we have direct inner experience of subtle realities. We mystics are all following the same path home to the One, which appears as all. And we experience many, many, many different kinds of effects and inner landscapes, and you can call them dimensions, you can call them worlds, you can call them all sorts of different words. See, this is where we get into the divisiveness of language. When the truth is, we're really talking about the same stuff. And we let ourselves get tripped up by our vocabulary, according to the tradition that we learned from. And, well, that's a normal part of the process, too. Nothing wrong with that. But the objective is to get to the part where you just see it all as the One. The One. That's it. No second even possible. Simply variations, different units within the One. And eventually, your own consciousness, your limited understanding, will transcend the entirety of the time-space continuum. It is then when some really big questions come along. But it is through the transcendence and then repeatedly dipping into that transcendence over and over and over and over and over until we become stable in the transcendent. Then everything changes. Now, it's been changing all along. Your own personal inner understanding of how things work, what things are, tons and tons and tons of different experiences to have, inner and outer. But the objective is mukti, is freedom, is salvation, is liberation from the cycle of birth and death. And that is what we're here to do. Many, many, many other things will get our attention. But that is the job. And if you don't wish to do that job, that's fine too. Do what draws your attention, okay? You are free to conduct yourself as you choose. You need not go in any particular direction. You can absolutely sit still like a stick in the mud if you choose. Okay, fine. Now, let us return to the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. Verse 190. Nityananda said, "If you see the dawn in the heart sky, it is possible to describe it. One must experience these things in one's self. What is called jnana is in buddhi." Jnana means knowledge. Buddhi is highest intelligence. Now, don't get that confused with Buddha. Buddha was a human, or any human, who comes into the understanding of buddhi. When you have buddhi and you understand it, you become a Buddha. Okay? Back to Nityananda's saying. Those in whom buddhi and jnana have become one can describe what this is. Those in whom intelligence and jnana are separate cannot describe what it is. What is called subtle discrimination is the union of buddhi and jnana. The reflection of the sun shakes in water, so also in mind. If mind is fickle, it is enamored of Maya. Stepping away from the text for a moment. Remember, Maya is the entirety of the worldly appearance of separate things. Okay? Back to Nityananda's saying. This madness, this delusion is caused by the gross. There is a madness caused by subtle discrimination that is divine madness. The gross madness is the gross discrimination. Whatever we may eat, the path of the food to the stomach is the same. Whatever may be the contents of letters and postcards and various newsletters, the box in which they are posted is the same. The tongue distinguishes between things pungent and things sour. To the mind, there is no such difference. Just as when we cage a bird, binding its legs, and then teach it to speak, so also the intelligence, the buddhi, becomes one with the soul when it is caged in the cage of manas. I know this stuff is so deep and so confusing sometimes. Now, the commentary on what Nityananda just said. It is impossible to describe the dawn of the divine light of Kundalini in the heart space of man unless one experiences it in oneself. God's bliss beggars description. The dawn of the divine light of Kundalini in the heart sky within the head can only be described by those in whom jnana and buddhi have become one. No others can describe it. What is called subtle discrimination is the union of buddhi and jnana. The reflection of the sun in water is shaky. Likewise, if mind in man is fickle, it is enamored of Maya. Mind in men of such a sort will be subject to Maya. This madness is caused by the gross or the physical. There is a madness caused by subtle discrimination. This is a divine madness. The gross madness is the gross discrimination, that having to do with the physical world. Subtle madness is the subtle discrimination. Whatever we may eat, the path to the stomach is the same. Likewise, the mind in man is the same. It receives both good and evil things equally well. Mind has no difference in it whatsoever. The tongue distinguishes between things like pungent and things like sour. It is the buddhi, the highest intelligence in man, that has the discriminating power. Just as we cage a bird and bind its legs, teach it to speak, so also the intelligence becomes one with the soul when it is caged in the cage of the mind. Atman is realized when the union between the manas and the buddhi is effected. Verse 191, Nityananda said, the Lord of Mukti is Shiva. Shiva is the linga in the head. This linga is nothing but Omkar. Enlightenment is the most important thing. Without nerves, there is no sound. Bhakti may be compared to the oil in a lamp. Nerves may be compared to the wick. Subtle discrimination is the flame or the light. The nerves are the glass of the lantern. The various air holes of the lantern are the Brahmarandra. The form of discrimination is intelligence. The commentary on Nityananda's saying. The giver of mukti is Shiva. What is Shiva? Shiva is the Atmalinga in the head. This linga is nothing but Omkar. When Atmalinga is realized, we perceive the Omkar in all. Enlightenment, seeing light in darkness, truth in untruth, is the most important thing. We cannot hear sound unless we have nerves in the body. Hence, without nerves, there is no sound. A jnani may be compared to a lantern. Bhakti in him is the oil in the lamp. The chief nerve is the wick. Subtle discrimination is the flame emitting light. The minor nerves are the glass of the lantern. The brain cavities are the air holes of the lantern. The supreme peace a jnani diffuses all around him is the light of the lantern. A jnani, like the lantern, is all light. He sees the Atman everywhere, in everything and everyone. Buddhi in man is nothing but jnana manifested. Kindly allow this, Swami, to go a little bit more into this and bring it into a more Western speak realm. All of the attainment in this path is done directly. It is not the least bit theoretical. It is not a matter of reading and memorizing and reciting. No. That can be preparatory. That can be happening right along with the development of jnana, which means knowing. But the knowing is not dependent upon the outer reading and memorization. No. It is like a plant that is fed by nothing but the sun and the dirt. And if the sun keeps shining, the plant will keep growing. You are like that. When you find and become subject to this inner light, that is what stirs further growth. And it becomes quite natural. Although for a very long time, you can still have all kinds of incorrect ideas and associations regarding many, 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 many things. That is the purpose of the secondary guru, the initiating guru, the human outside of yourself who has already accomplished the goal. So they can assist you in understanding what is going on, because they've already been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, had a beer, and split. Let us do one more verse for today. Well, we might be able to get to it. Verse 192. Nityananda said, if you hold nose and mouth tight, you are not able to talk. Similarly, a thing that does not breathe does not emit sound. Just as water goes on diminishing in a tank in summer, so also the power of breath goes on diminishing in the body. When the water is moving, the air moves along with it. You can live without food or without drinking coffee for 5 days, but you cannot live for 5 minutes without breathing. The commentary on Nityananda's saying. By the way, Nityananda was a very big fan of coffee. It was one of the few worldly substances he actually was a big, big fan of. The commentary. An inanimate thing does not emit sound, for it has no breath or prana. If we hold our mouth and nose tight, we're not able to talk. A thing that does not breathe does not emit sound. The power of breath, or prana, goes on diminishing in the body like the water in a tank in summer. When the water is moving, the air moves along with it. Likewise, as long as there is the prana in the body, there is blood circulation. Prana is the most essential thing in the body. Without prana, we cannot live for even 5 minutes. Although, without food and without coffee, we can live for many days. Hence, regulation of prana is quite necessary. Verse 193. Nityananda said, the highest of all the powers is the power of Maya. A dead body, and so also a stone, are unable to talk. Likewise, if air does not act, fire cannot burn. I.e., if breathing is not regular, the fire of digestion will be impaired. When the digestive fire does not act properly, the phlegm in the lungs becomes hard. Fat increases in the body. The food that is eaten remains in the stomach undigested. If there is any obstruction in the pump, water will not flow out properly. Similarly, if the breathing becomes difficult, fever, thickening of the mucus is caused. By this, all diseases are caused. The commentary on Nityananda's saying. The highest of all the powers is the power of Maya. It requires sustained effort to transcend Maya. The prana in man is the most important thing in the body, because without prana, a man will be motionless, like a dead body or a stone. If breathing is not regular in the body, the fire of digestion will be impaired. When the digestive fire does not act properly, the phlegm in the lungs becomes hard. Fat increases in the body. The food that is eaten remains undigested in the stomach. If there is an obstruction in the pump, water will not flow out properly. Similarly, if the breathing becomes difficult, fever, thickening of the mucus, and such are caused. Because of this, all diseases are caused. Thank you ever so much for tuning in to Meditative Living, whether you're listening live or on type1radio.com. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you for allowing this Swami to be of service. Om Namo Narayana.